Welcome to Lawrence Park Community Church. We're really glad that you're here. I'd especially like to welcome those of you who are visitors. We have coffee after the service. And if you're quick and beat the kids, usually we have some cookies too. So we hope you stay and have a chance to congratulate some of the Confederation Youth Chorus members who will be singing for us today, all the way from Prince Edward Island. What's really special is that they're singing songs from The Lion King, and we didn't know they could do this, but a year ago already, we had planned to do three services with The Lion King as our text. And when they said that they would be able to sing for us, they also said that they can sing The Lion King. So we're really glad to have them this morning. And when we see them, let's make sure to welcome them warmly. My name is John Suk. I'm the pastor, and I do have, it looks like, six or seven announcements, and I'll try to be really quick. The flower sale order forms are on your seats, and so you should take one home and mail it back or put it in a collection plate or something, but we'd love to have you buy some flowers. The New Circles clothing drive, where we're looking for prom clothing and prom accessories, both guys and gals. That finishes Tuesday. You can drop it off at the church. Probably not Monday, but Tuesday would be your last chance before noon if you could, or you can leave it there today or come and bring it back today. It goes in Michael's office. The second collection today, we pass the plate around twice, a couple of times a year, and for this month, we're passing it around a second time for Camp Scugog, a special camp north on Lake Scugog. It's for single moms, kids in the city who don't get out of the city, and we support it both by hammering and sawing up there once a year and financially. Write your checks to Lawrence Park Community Church, and in the subject line, put Camp Scugog. Yes, okay, thanks, Rhiannon, for that encouragement. Inside your bulletins, you'll see a flyer from Wellspring. The people at Wellspring asked me to drop by this week so I could see what the services they offer for family and friends and patients who have cancer. And it's actually an amazing program, so take a moment to look at the flyer. It's there, and it can be used by anyone who has questions or concerns about cancer. Sermon discussion is canceled this evening because we have several busy things going on, and I just can't do all the juggling, so no sermon discussion. I will say that we received a note this week that we should choose from a list of three Syrian families. So it's that far. The committee will be meeting after church to make a selection from those three families, and next week we should be able to tell you about the family that's coming here. So that's pretty exciting. This Wednesday, it's in the bulletin, but this Wednesday we're doing pub theology. We meet at 8:30 at the bar that's mentioned in the bulletin. We're looking for people, especially 35 and under. We've sent out tons of emails to people we're aware of, but we may not have got someone that you think should be invited. If so, email Rhiannon or I, and we'll make sure they get a personal invite. It's going to be very interesting. The flowers today are in memory of Nancy Jackson. It's so sad, but I heard this morning that Sid Jackson passed away. So many of us knew Sid. I hardly know what to say. But we will miss Sid as well as Nancy for all these past years, but we will miss it a lot. The funeral arrangements have definitely not been made yet at this time, and we will let you know as soon as we know. I'm just very glad that I was able to visit Sid yet this week and spend some time with him and pray with him. I should also add that Clark Forster, who some of you know, is on his deathbed, and I'll be visiting him this afternoon. He's not doing very well at all. So we want to keep both of those families, the Forsters and the Jacksons in our prayers. Well, Christianity is about hope and next steps and the courage to continue living right. And we're going to do that on this Sunday with a lot of help from both of our choirs. And we'll start with the processional hymn. Let us pray. Dear Divine Father, Mother, Parent, we come this morning to talk and commiserate, to drink coffee and laugh. We come this morning to be a community because we like each other and care for each other. And we come this morning to worship, to sing hallelujahs with the help of a choir from Prince Edward Island, to attend to scripture, to turn to and embrace the mystery of who and what you are. Our prayer as we begin is that through it all, we may be refreshed and renewed, and that we may leave this church in joy for having been here. Amen. We have a lot of visitors with us this morning. Let's turn around and take a moment to make sure they feel welcomed and glad to be here. We would have some traffic problems if we were to actually call the kids forward for a children's sermon this morning. And in fact, there's no way that I could do better than the music we're going to hear from the Lion King. So all I want to say to the kids today is listen carefully. This is for you. And after they sing, after the scripture reading, children in grades 5 and below are welcome to go to Sunday school, if they so wish, and continue their worship there. But at this time, we are going to prepare for the message or actually the message is the tale, and this is the main event. But we're going to hear the Lion King medley.
Thank you. Today's reading is from the book of Ephesians, where the author is giving instructions to the church. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. And fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord.
Thanks.
That was great.
The next 2 weeks we'll be talking about some of the music that we just heard, The Circle of Life, Be Prepared, Makumba Matata, and Can You Feel the Love Tonight? So you really got us ready for this. Thanks a lot. So all of us, whether we... Oh, I have to make sure that the children who are leaving for Sunday school can leave. Okay. Thanks, Gil. See you. All of us, whether we're 8 years old or 80 years old, are weighed down. We are weighed down by our parents' expectations, like the little lion Simba. Simba, of course, is the very cute little lion prince in The Lion King. For those of you who are older and may not have seen the cartoon, The Lion King, all I'm going to say is that its plot is a little bit like Shakespeare's Hamlet. That is, the good, wise king, Mufasa, is killed by his evil brother, Scar. And then the good young prince, Simba, doesn't know what to do. In Simba's case, feeling guilty for his part, he runs away. But of course, since this is a Walt Disney film, it has a happier ending than Hamlet. So today I want to focus on just one image from this movie. But first we're going to watch the scene in which this image occurs. It happens long before the king is murdered. Prince Simba and his friend Nala visit the elephant graveyard. And the parents have said, you may not go there. It's strictly off limits. Well, of course, when Simba and Nala go to the elephant graveyard, hyenas attack those two poor little lions. And just when it looks like it's all over for Simba and Nala, King Mufasa shows up and he saves them. Still, Simba, little Simba, has disobeyed his father, the king. So the father is very angry with Simba. Watch.
You don't say anything.
I was there.
Okay, I'm hooked up now. There's a lot more to the movie, and we're going to leave that to the next week and the week after. But today I want to focus on just one image taken from the scene that we just watched. It's Simba's tiny paw in the huge paw print of his father, King Mustafa. See that? Will Simba ever be able to fill his father's or his mother's shoes? Will Simba ever measure up to his parents' expectations? Living with our parents' expectations, whether our parents are dead and with the stars, or whether our parents are alive and just a phone call or a text message away, you know, trying to please our parents can be very, very tough. What our parents want and what our parents tell us to do and what our parents hope for, it can weigh on us all the time. Will we ever measure up? Sometimes our parents' expectations are really good. So, for example, I remember a time when my family, five kids in my family, and then there was another family with four kids, we went on a camping trip together in Nova Scotia. I was the biggest kid. I was 16. I had my driver's license, the only one. I felt like the big man on campus. Anyway, one day I was driving the car, and I thought, this is cool. I'm going to let that little 8-year-old girl beside me, I'm going to let her sit on my lap and steer for me. And so she got on my lap, and she started steering, and I took my hands off the wheel. And we immediately crashed into a ditch, and I smashed up the car's whole front end. And then, like an idiot, I told that little girl not to tell her parents how it had happened. I told her to say nothing about how she was driving the car instead of me. But like George Washington, that little girl, she could not tell a lie. And that night she told her parents everything. And I was caught. I will never forget talking to my father the next morning. You know, he didn't say much. But the look he gave me, you know, that stern, sad look that parents can sometimes give you when you've really failed. The look that Mustafa gave Simba, that was enough. My dad's eyes went right through my heart and they tore it apart. I felt very, very bad. Not only did I lie, but I had put the whole car of kids in danger. I let my parents down. My shame, it just overwhelmed me. And still, my parents' expectations of me on that day, they were exactly right on. I should not have lied. I was wrong. I should have felt bad. Sometimes, though, what parents expect of us can be way more complicated and murky. Let me tell you one more true story. My father was an immigrant, and he could not afford to go to college. So after he was married, he went to night school. Many nights, over and over and over again. And finally, after years, he earned a business certificate so that he was allowed to sell life insurance. Some of you might know it, the CLU. And then with that, he was eventually able to be successful enough and take a few more courses so that he could teach in high school, even though he didn't have a college degree. In those days, that was possible. But what my dad really, really wanted was to be a minister. So into his 30s and 40s, my father took courses at York University here in town. He took summer courses at a seminary far away and was gone weeks at a time. And eventually, a couple of churches thought, well, we'll give him a chance. We'll see how he can do. We'll let him preach. And my dad turned out to be pretty good at it, even though Dutch was his first language. And he was a good pastor, a nice guy. So even though he never graduated, one church finally asked him to be their full-time minister. Just 3 years before he died. Against great odds, my father achieved his lifelong dream. He got what he wanted. But my dad's dream wasn't just his personal dream. You see, my father dreamed that I would be a minister too. And the interesting thing is, my father never said that to me. But I knew it deep in my bones. He wanted me to be a minister. My dad wanted me to be a regular minister with a proper education, a guy who actually studied. Is there a ringing here? Pardon? Okay. Anyways, my dad wanted me to be a regular minister, someone who studied the Bible in Greek and Hebrew, someone who had a proper education. Unlike him, my dad wanted me to be a minister who wasn't held back by having to preach in English as a second language. That's what my dad dreamed. And I did what my dad wanted. I somehow sensed his expectation, and they weighed heavy on me, and I tried to make my dad happy, so I became a minister. My dad's expectations were huge paw prints in the sand that I could not miss, even though he didn't speak it. Now, I do not regret becoming a minister. I have enjoyed my career. Looking back, though, I see that there are other careers that I missed out on that might have been even better for me, like working with ancient human bones, paleoanthropology is my hobby, or maybe teaching university, or maybe owning a nice little cigar shop. But you know, it's complicated, isn't it? Meeting your parents' expectations. I mean, the thing is, I loved my dad. He was good, and he was kind, and he was fair. I wanted to please my dad for those reasons. I wanted to make my dad happy. So even though I wasn't aware of it, I let my dad's unspoken expectations, which were deeply felt by me, lead me into the pulpit, and I became a minister in large measure to please him. You know, all of us, whether we're 8 or 80, live with those kinds of expectations, with those paw prints in the sand. And it's okay, it's unavoidable to run into those kinds of paw prints. It's human. The thing is, ultimately, all of us have to make up our own mind about what really matters in life and what's really right for us. We should personally decide what we will do when we grow up, what kind of person we will be, what matters most to us. Maybe neighbors matter most to us. Maybe money matters most to us. Maybe fame, maybe something better. All of us have to make our own important decisions about what really matters in life. But at the same time, our parents, as well as our teachers and our friends, they're going to have their expectations for us, and they won't always be good or wise expectations. They may tell us what they want us to do, or they may just hint at it. So what will you decide? How will you decide? How will you weigh your parents' and your teachers' and your best friends' expectations when it comes to your own dreams? This is important. If you're young, you need to take the time to get to know your hopes and dreams. I mean, you actually have to sit and think about it rather than just stumble into it. Take time to really consider what you love to do, what you're good at. Try stuff. Imagine stuff. Consider your parents, your teachers, your friends' advice carefully. Sure. But in the end, there is no alternative to making up your own mind. So don't fall into something just because it's what someone else expects of you. Remember, the be-all and end-all of life is not merely pleasing your parents as much as you can or earning as much money as possible. No. The place God calls you to, the place God calls you to, is where your deepest gladness and the world's deepest hunger meet. I'm going to say that once more. Frederick Buechner said this first. The place God calls you to is where your deepest gladness and the world's deepest hunger meet. If you're older, like me, you'll eventually realize that some of the most important decisions that you made in your life were decisions that you made because of expectations that were placed upon you that you might not even have been aware of. You tried to fill paw prints that were there, and looking back now, you see that they didn't really fit that well, and you didn't even realize it at the time. You did what you were expected, but now you may feel sad or diminished or angry that you did what was expected. What can I say? It's unlikely that your parents meant to do this to you, but even if they did, out of ignorance or stubbornness because they thought they knew what was best for you, I suppose the best thing you can do now, if you're older like me, is try to forgive them. And now, no matter what age your kids are, to the degree you are able, don't make their meeting your expectations in all things the price that your kids have to pay for your love and acceptance. When it comes to putting too many expectations on our kids, whether they are career expectations or expectations about how often they should visit you or marriage expectations or even financial expectations, when you put those kinds of expectations on your kids, remember what the Apostle Paul said in the famous chapter on love, 1 Corinthians 13. Paul said, love does not insist on its own way. Oh, that's a tough standard, especially when we love our kids. But it's the right standard. Love does not insist on its own way. You know, for Christians, there's two other things to keep in mind. First, living as a follower of Jesus involves divine expectations. For example, our scripture reading suggested that we should try to obey our parents. You knew that, right? Yeah, okay. You should try to obey your parents, but also it says fathers and mothers should not provoke their children to anger. Do your parents know that? I mean, this following scripture is hard. And more generally, as followers of Jesus, we're challenged to, you know, we have to love our neighbor, we have to seek justice, we have to embrace mercy. And in all this, Jesus is our model. But the shoes of that fisherman, Jesus, those are the most difficult shoes to fill. Following Jesus can make all of us, young or old, feel inadequate or sad or angry with ourselves or angry with the church that asks us to do this. There are many ways in which the demands of following Jesus feel a lot like the demands and expectations that our parents put on us. But the second thing to remember is that if we decide to fall in Jesus' way, if we decide to do what Jesus wants us to do or what he says in the Bible, failure, while not encouraged, is always forgiven. How and why we get forgiven is a great and lovely cosmic mystery. Still, at the heart of the church, there's always been this belief that when we fail with our parents' expectations or with God's expectations or with what the Bible says or the teacher says, within the heart of the church, there is this belief that when we fail, the divine encourages us not only to admit that we have failed, but to try again with a smile. To live joyfully rather than with all these crippling regrets that I wasn't good enough and I didn't make it and I didn't please them. Live joyfully rather than with crippling regrets. So finally, Simba, he had a hard time living up to King Mustafa's expectations. And if you watch the whole movie, you see that those expectations led Simba to run away. We all demand too much of our children. And we all have failed to live up to all of our parents' expectations. We have to make the best of it. But the bottom line is that ultimately it isn't our parents' paw prints that are the most important. Once again, it's what Frederick Buechner said. The place God calls you to is where your deepest gladness and the world's deepest hunger meet. Amen. We're going to respond by singing God Who Gives to Life Its Goodness. Today's pastoral prayer is based in part on the words written by Rabbi Harold Kushner. Shall we pray? Eternal God, creator of the universe, we see that your works are wonderful and many splendored. Thank you for the many ways we can affirm your presence and purpose by embracing the life we live. We stand in awe and gratitude of your love. And for each and all of your children, Christian, Muslim, Jew, Buddhist, as well as those with other faiths, we pray today about our religious and political enmity. Let the rain come and wash away our ancient grudges, all bitter hatreds held and nurtured over generations. Let the rain wash away the memory of the hurt and the neglect. Then let the sun come out and fill the sky with rainbows. Let the warmth of the sun heal us wherever we are broken, and especially on this Sunday when our hearts go out to the Jackson family, the Forster family, and other families that we all know about who are struggling with illness and pain, even death. May we be friends and community and lovers of these people, especially at this time. Let the warmth of the sun heal us wherever we are broken. Let it burn away the fog so that we can see each other clearly, so that we can see each other without all those labels, without the accents we speak in, gender or skin color. Let the warmth and brightness of the sun melt our selfishness so that we can share the joys and feel the sorrows of our neighbors. And let the sun be strong, so strong that we will see all people as our neighbors. Let the earth, nourished by rain, bring forth flowers to surround us with beauty. And let the mountains teach our hearts to reach up to heaven. Amen. As I said earlier, we're doing two collections today. The first is for the life and the ministry of the church, and the second is for the work of Camp Lake Scugog. So the basket will come by twice. If you're a visitor, just let it go by, and we're just glad that you're here. receive now this blessing. Well, no, but before I do the blessing, it's been great to have the choir here. They did a wonderful job. They really raised our spirits. You can come back any year you want. Thanks so much. We hope that you can bring to Toronto something that we haven't been able to do ourselves yet, and that is winning ways for the Jays. Have fun at the game this afternoon. So now, let's join together in a closing prayer. Breathe on us, breath of God. Fill us with life anew, that we may love what you love and do what you would do. Amen.